You're listening to Community Radio.
KBOO, Portland.
Welcome to episode 10 of Stories with Stella. I'm your host, Stella. And a brief introduction for those of you who might be new to the show. I have been a stripper and I've worked in the sex work industry for about 6 years. And I wanted to have this show as an outlet or a safe space for myself and others, sometimes my roommates, sometimes other coworkers, to share our experiences and perspectives about a very misunderstood industry. And educate not only each other, but also anyone out there who doesn't feel comfortable enough to ask these vulnerable or intimate and sometimes uncomfortable questions that can be very based to our humanity. And a lot of what my goal with this show or what I want to accomplish is just to break down stereotypes and the taboos around sex, kink, sex work, race, class, gender, humility, therapy, the death industry, self-esteem, confidence, body positivity, any topic that a lot of people, especially in our American culture, feel very uncomfortable talking about because it requires a level of vulnerability. I want to help make those conversations more accessible, make them more comfortable. And the only way to do that is to practice. And so while I practice myself, I like to share a few things that I've experienced myself and also had a lot of conversations with people in the strip club about that I just find very interesting. And I have learned a lot, and I hope that maybe some of my listeners will learn a little bit here and there too. And if there's anything that you don't like, toss it out because it doesn't matter. First topic that I want to like really dive into today is how a lot of kinks are not really that kinky. And that comes from my own experiences being a very, what a lot of people call naturalistic or hippie girl stripper, in that I haven't worn a lot of deodorant or perfume over the years of working as a stripper. And as a result, I've had a lot of customers who really enjoy either the smell of feet or of armpits or of sweaty parts of the body, and occasionally even want to lick that sweat off of my body for money, of course. A lot of other dancers that I've talked to, a lot of friends and people in my life that I've shared these stories with, the initial reaction to some is, ooh, people want to lick your toes, or ooh, people want to lick your armpits, that's so gross. But to me, it actually, after a lot of these interactions, it makes a lot of sense. We as humans are simply animals at our core. And our scent carries the smell of our pheromones, our hormones, where we're at in our fertility cycle. And a lot of those can stimulate the unconscious parts of the brain for many people that they're usually completely unaware of. A lot of times, attraction is very much based on scent. And I think that the nose and that sense that we have to be able to smell things is really underrated, because we have a lot of other senses that are quote unquote stronger. But after talking with a lot of these customers that I've had who really have just given into how much they enjoy, how fired up they can get off of the smell of a woman's body, off of the smell of somebody's body odor, their sweat as they're working out, because a lot of times when we make love or when we have sex with people, it's a sweaty ordeal. And we're releasing hormones while we're having sex or while we're cuddling, even when we kiss people. Our hormones and pheromones are shifting at all times, and that goes through our scent. And so what seemed to me at first to be a, really? You want to smell my armpits? I've been dancing all day. Now makes a lot of sense to me. And I purposefully do not wear deodorant. And I let myself be a little sweaty or stinky. But that stink is communicating to my customers. It's letting them know what's going on inside me physically, and it can turn them on physically as well. So that has been one experience I've had for the sweat or the smell kink side of things that a lot of people are not really into. A lot of people are very self-conscious of their own smell and their own body odor because of the culture that we live in, and because our culture has catered to making a lot of money off of selling products that cover up our natural smells like perfume and deodorant and essential oils and all these kinds of things. And while they can smell really good and be very enjoyable, they are covering up these unconscious pheromones communication that's going on naturally to other people, and especially partners or people in situations like in the strip club. Another kink that I have come to realize is not super kinky, at least to me, is people's fetish for feet. And I personally don't have a fetish for feet other than I have an extreme fascination. I think feet are super cool. The fact that we have that many tiny little bones and tendons and ligaments and everything on these pretty small things that are holding up the rest of our body weight and keeping us balanced and able to run and dance and jump. Feet are pretty phenomenal to me. The whole concept of them are, it's physically just fascinating. Sexually, feet do not turn me on. They don't do it for me. But it doesn't gross me out that it does that for other people. I feel like a lot of times kinks are a spectrum, just like anything, and I fall on the spectrum of fascinated by the physiology of what our feet can do and how evolution has created them. And some people fall on the spectrum of that fascination makes their private parts tingle. And so who am I to judge that, especially since I've made some profit off of that in my experiences as a stripper. And a lot of times when people express that they're a fan of feet, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of guilt somehow that goes around with that for a lot of people, that they feel something is wrong with them because they have this attraction that stimulates their genitals. And again, our culture has put a lot of shame on any kind of kink that's somewhat unusual or not vanilla missionary position sex, man and woman kind of ordeal. And that also stems from a lot of religious stuff. But what I've noticed a lot is many of my customers in the club who've come in and expressed that they would like to smell my feet, lick my toes, put my feet against their face, give me a foot massage, whatever it is that they want to do to connect with my feet. Depending on the client, if they're willing to pay a little extra, I will indulge them and I'll let them do that because I understand where I fall on that spectrum, and it doesn't make me uncomfortable that somebody else is on a different end of that spectrum. And I've also noticed that a lot of times the people who do approach me with that proposition of wanting to interact with my feet more than the rest of my body or the typical sexual organs are usually very, very respectful because they're used to a high level of judgment from people that they share this with, and there's a lot of fear of not being validated or not being acknowledged that what they want is okay. It doesn't hurt anyone. If somebody wants to lick my toes, it's not hurting me. It's not hurting anyone I know. It's not hurting them. It can be a win-win. I can provide a safe space, a non-judgmental space. They can even allow me to be amused by the fact that they're on a different part of the spectrum than I am when it comes to really anything. And I can provide that safe space for people to fulfill this unique desire that they have. That's really not that unique. There's a lot of people who share it out there. And a lot of times, those same customers who want to experience something that our culture considers kinky are more respectful than the average customer. They're more understanding of the transactional value of this is a win-win situation. I won't judge you and you are going to pay me and help me make my bills or save for whatever I need to save for. And so it can be a win-win without any judgment or shame or anything about that. Now, does it turn me on when people lick my toes? Absolutely not. Do I think it's amusing to watch people be so enthralled by the scent of my soles and my heels? I laugh, I smile, I think it's entertaining, but it's not a judgmental piece that I'm holding with people. And I communicate that with my customers. And so they're comfortable with me watching them while I'm standing on the other side of the room with a foot in their face, and they're just rubbing my toes and giving them a little sniff. And a lot of times those customers, they don't want anything to do with my boobs or my butt or any of the traditional sexual attraction places. In contrast, a lot of the customers I have who are specifically there for the very stereotypical attractive sexual organs are very disrespectful and trying to force themselves on me or force their hands where their hands are not supposed to be and can be very aggressive. And so if anything, I've actually come to really appreciate when I have somebody who has somewhat of an alternative interest, because there's a higher chance that they'll respect me, my body, and the transaction that we're both a part of. So there are many, many other kinks that don't seem that kinky to me that are out there. And another reason I really appreciate the strip club industry is for all of the dancers who provide a safe outlet for people to be vulnerable and learn how to not feel ashamed for these very natural instincts that a lot of us have. And I'm grateful for my opportunity to be one of those providers, because not only am I an outlet for these people, but I'm also getting to learn a lot about just the variety of humanness that is out there. So on that note, I'm gonna take a break here and play some music. And then when I come back, I want to address a few more stereotypes about the strip club industry. So until then, enjoy.
Only a man, only a man, only a man, frozen in time, only a man, feel the gap.
I know we don't ever
Welcome back to Stories with Stella. For this next little bit, I want to dive into some really basic misconceptions about the strip club industry. And to start with, the idea or the misconception that dancers are employees, that we are managed by a manager, that we are paid by the hour, that we can have access to health benefits or unemployment insurance. And let me just tell you right now, that's all untrue. So every club, at least in the state of Oregon, because that's the only place I've worked, every dancer is an independent contractor, which means that we do not work for the club. We work at the club. And that distinction is legally means that we have to pay what is called a stage fee or a house fee. Each dancer has to pay the club to rent the stage, rent the bar, rent the facilities to conduct their business as a stripper. And that house fee can vary depending on the club. So it can be anywhere from $5 to $120, depending on where you work, what city you work. But that's something that a lot of people don't understand when they come in and they're tipping us a dollar and they don't think an extra dollar is going to make much of a difference. It does, because we start the beginning of our shift in the red. We start owing the club money. So, for example, where I've been working most recently, the house fee is $10 during the day and $20 at night. So if I show up at 9 p.m. for a shift until 2:30 in the morning, the first $20 I make goes to the club. And on top of that, because we're not employees, the actual employees at the strip club, the bartenders, sometimes the DJ, cocktail waitresses, cleaners, cooks, they're all usually not always, on minimum wage because they're employee status. And the dancers are generally, it's good etiquette to tip out the employees of the establishment that you are renting. So that's a really big misconception a lot of people have, is we don't show up and just immediately start making money. The first certain amount of money that we make has to go towards paying the club. Another misconception about the industry is that all strippers are always making fantastic money all the time. And let me burst your bubble right there and also let you know that no, because we're not employees, but independent contractors, there's no guarantee that we're going to make any money. So, for example, I was working downtown at a club where the house fee was $85, and I worked a night shift from 9 p.m. until 2:30 in the morning, and I only made $50. So at the end of that night, I had worked over 5 hours, and I had to pay to work that night. I had to pay to wear heels and have my hair done very well and have my outfit looking good and climb 4 flights of stairs to go to the dressing room all night long. I ended up having to pay out of pocket to work for 5 hours that night. And that moment of having to pay to work is something that takes strength and not everyone is able to handle. And so the idea or the stereotype of, oh, stripping is easy money, it can be, honey, but it sure cannot be too. And being able to deal with a job that is 90% rejection and a job where you risk having to pay out of pocket every time you walk into a shift, that inconsistency, it takes strength to be able to put on a brave face and say, I paid $10 to work tonight, but tomorrow maybe I'll make all my rent in one shift. And you never know what it's going to be. It's so hit or miss unless you have a consistent strain of regular customers that you know are going to be coming in that you can rely on. Stripping is an inconsistent game. You can make anywhere from no money to $20 to $500 to $2,000. And it can be totally dependent on who decides to walk through those doors and patron the club for that day or that night. Another really big misconception I've personally run into after working at a few clubs is the stereotype of the skeezy strip club owner. And I can say, like any other industry I've worked in, there are good bosses and there are bad bosses. There's good strip club owners and there's bad strip club owners. Now, the main difference between retail or customer service industries is that the strip club owner is not the boss of the strippers. Now, you'd be surprised how many strip club owners don't realize that. But as independent contractors and not employees, the owner of the club is not the boss of the dancers because we are paying them to use their facility. Their insurance does not cover us. Their liability does not cover us. They're not required to pay unemployment if we get hurt at work. So I have worked at clubs with strip club owners who believe that all of the dancers are there to fulfill their every need. And they want all of the dancers to look exactly the same and have the same proportions and the same style and the same aesthetic. A lot of strip club owners think that the whole goal for their strip club is to make money off of the dancers, as opposed to recognizing that if you really take care of your dancers and you support them and they're in an environment where they can make a lot of money, they can in turn give a lot of that money back to the business, and the business or the bar will be booming because of the strippers that are happy and doing well and comfortable at their job and not having to pay an arm and a leg to work at a certain club. So the clubs that I've been happiest at, that I have been the most positive dancer for people to enjoy, are the clubs where I don't have to pay more than $10 or $20 per shift. And that also comes down to my privilege of living in Portland, where we have so many clubs that when I find a club or a club owner I don't like, I have the privilege and the opportunity to be able to say, I'm not gonna put up with this, and leave and go find another club. The first club I worked at for over 2 years, I didn't realize how good I had it until I left, because it was the only club I had been at, and I thought every club owner was wonderful and supportive and gave me good advice and gave me good guidance, especially as a baby stripper, someone who was new to the industry. I got very lucky, and the club owner where I worked knew how to guide the new dancers in a very smart way so that we either would learn how to set boundaries and stay in the industry or immediately flail and not work out. And it wouldn't be the thing for us. Some clubs that I've worked at have more of a profit and greed kind of mindset, and the strip club owners will hire anyone and everyone, not give them any information, even if it's their first time dancing. And that's how I've seen dancers get hurt in the club. There's not a lot of education out there. So another thing that separates, because we're not employees, there's no employee training for strippers. When you show up, you have to take initiative. You have to be a self-starter to figure out the different rules at every club. So when you audition at a club, generally the strip club owner, whoever's doing the audition, isn't going to tell you how the scheduling is done or when you need to show up for shifts or how much the house fee is. So it has to be on the independent contractor themselves showing up to work and saying, okay, this is the information I need to know in order to put myself in this situation and agree to work here. And I've seen a lot of women come through the industry with this expectation of, it's gonna be really easy money and all I have to do is get naked on stage in front of people and that's it, I'm gonna make thousands of dollars. When in reality, it takes the ability to humble yourself and say, hey, I'm new. What's the etiquette at this club? What are the rules? When do I need to be here? What's the house fee? Does the house fee change at night? It also takes a lot of grit and strength to be able to put up with rejection and with people trying to cross boundaries every moment of the day, pretty much. Especially when you first start as a young stripper, customers know that and will try to take advantage of that by pushing boundaries. And it takes strength to be able to, right off the bat, learn how to say, no, this is where my boundary is. This is how I'm going to enforce it. And it also takes a lot of empathy, of not just being able to be on stage 10 feet away from somebody with your clothes off, but sit down next to them, make eye contact with them, maybe even hold their hand and say, how was your week? How's your life? How are your grandkids? And connect with somebody on a level that maybe nobody has tried to connect with them in a really long time. And that in itself is so much harder than just taking your clothes off and getting naked in front of people. And when people have this idea of stripping being really easy money, they don't take into account all of these other factors other than the confidence that's necessary to walk in the very first place. And one of the last misconceptions I want to cover is this misconception that a lot of people have, and that a lot of movies and TV shows will make fun of and use as a harmful stereotype against strippers and sex workers, is only people who have low self-esteem or no confidence would go into these industries. Which, if you really think about it, is absolutely ridiculous. Because to even be able to walk into a strip club for the first time and be willing to take your clothes off in front of people that you've never seen before but might see again, that takes a level of confidence right there. So just to be able to walk in the door for an audition takes a certain amount of confidence. And then it also takes a certain amount of confidence to be willing to have a private dance with somebody and set boundaries. And for women or for dancers that I've seen who don't have a little bit of confidence in those areas to begin with, they can feel very violated very quickly in the club, and it can be a negative experience for them. So the concept of all strippers or sex workers must have low self-esteem or lack confidence to me really makes no sense, because it takes having a good self-esteem in the first place to go in. And then this amazing thing happens in my own personal experience. My confidence bloomed. It grew. The more that I danced, the more that I experienced working with empowered women and working as an independent contractor and having respect from the people that I was around and learning how to set boundaries really strong in the club taught me how to set boundaries out in my personal life as well. And the better I got at setting boundaries, the more my confidence grew, the more my self-esteem grew for how confident I am in myself and my body. And yes, when I first started dancing, I thought that there was a requirement that every stripper must have large tits, small waist, big butt, small belly, long hair, fancy nails, full makeup. I had this idea that somehow I wasn't gonna be good enough. But I also had enough confidence to say, I'm still gonna go in and try. And then after my very first audition, and after my first week, and after my first month, I realized more and more how no matter how I decided to alter my appearance or not alter my appearance, there was always gonna be somebody who preferred it a different way. And it led to some pretty fun revelations pretty early on. Like, I realized early on, I didn't need to wear makeup. It got in my eyes. I was wearing contacts at the time and it would mess with my contact lenses. And I stopped wearing makeup and I started having customers who were like, wow, I love that you're doing the natural look. I love that you're doing this intentionally. Now me, it wasn't necessarily intentionally. It was more out of, I really just don't want to do this. But I still had this idea that I needed to be wearing makeup. And no matter what I do, there's going to be somebody out there who doesn't like it and somebody out there who does. And just knowing that fact is very freeing and very empowering. And again, this brings me back to the original misconception that people have that anyone who's a stripper or sex worker must have low self-esteem or lack confidence. It's completely bonkers. Every dancer I know is incredibly empowered and fierce and full of life and hustle and energy, because that's what it takes to be in that industry. And the more you're in it, the more it grows, the more confidence you can have. I feel like a lot of who I am has come from my time working in the clubs as a dancer, and the lessons that I've learned I am bringing with me out into my personal life. And I'm really grateful to have this platform, this opportunity to share some of these stories with people who may have been in the industry themselves as well, or who will never be in that industry for one reason or another, but still want to learn some of these skills and the ways of connecting with humans and the ways of breaking down stereotypes that are completely useless and, if anything, harmful. And I'm all about becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable. The only way to get better is to practice, practice, practice. So thank you for joining me, and I look forward to many more wild and vulnerable and hopefully a little educational episodes down the road as well. I've got a little bit more music here to play for you, and if anyone is interested in the playlist for each episode or any of the previous recorded episodes, everything can be found online at the kboo.com/storieswithstella website. Thank you for listening, and happy July, everyone.
I can't shake the lean. I can't do it, my nigga, I'd rather shake the scene. Four red zips or codeine. I can taste the pro meth when I'm in my dreams. Wake up still high, man, this shit get deep. No matter how much drink, I ain't going to sleep. Too much on deck. Some maple syrup, some price for sex. Sean put me on. This is sweeter than candy, still the same old song. Yeah, man. But I love the qual. Me and face pouring line, still on black wall. Drinking purple tech. With a cranberry sprite, hit the cup, that's it. It's wet. Bitch, I love to drink. I don't feel like fucking, what the fuck you think?
I don't have bleed.
No, it didn't. Okay. A lot of pick me up, but you thought I was tripping. Gotta know your limit. Some niggas playing with this shit, have your ass start twisting. And I forgot to mention, I pulled 2 liters summertime up on benches. Numb to the world, getting high in the trenches. When the shit break off, homie, you can go missing. Does a drink while you all slow sipping. You don't wanna get high, you rather fuck with liquor. Closing with a star from the shit get wicked. I really do this shit. Lil' L had the water jug with 16 zips. And I'm bull on the Henny, but the walk I sip. And I'm good on the yellow, I don't do that shit. No jollies in my juice, can't touch this mix.
Let me get you.
sing in, let me get you sick of me and you so close, so slick. Don't you give me no ring, give me cuffs on my wrist, but not too tight, that ask you what's wrong. Just enough slack to rope up my dick, just enough now to keep me in place, just enough now to eat your plate clean, just enough now to pack your suitcase, yeah, just enough to creep away unseen. Just enough to creep away unseen. Oh, honey, where you been?
I could never see into the future. And you keep me from trying. Yeah, you keep me at bay. But try me on the size, I think I suit you. Just like any typical time.
Make you feel pretty, then throw me away.
Oh, look at you go.
Doing it just like I told you to. I don't need no sun, baby, you my moon. I don't need no guy, baby, I got you.
Thank you. my life had changed so many ways. All that independence, baby, vanished in the haze. But every now and then, oh, I just don't know. I find I want you by my side more than ever before. So won't you help me if you can, baby? I'm feeling down. Help me.
Shake up your bed, put another log on the fire for me. I made some breakfast and coffee. Look out my window, what do I see? A crack in the sky and a hand reaching down to me. All the nightmares came today, and it looks as though they're here to stay. What are we coming to? No room for me, no fun for you. I'll think about a world to come where the books were found by the golden ones, written in vain, written it all by a puzzled man who questioned what we were here for. All the strangers came today, and it looks as though they're here. Their faces in golden rays. Don't kid yourself, they belong to you. They're the start of the coming race. The author's a bitch, we finished our news. Homo sapiens have outgrown their use. All the strangers came today, and it looks as though they're here.
to love me. And baby, I can't hold it much longer. It's getting stronger and stronger.
Oh, I'm Queen Ida, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the radio. Your spot for Cajun and Zydeco music. Bon ton roulette.